This is the Monicast, all about open source marketing automation with Montic. And here is your host, Ecky Gamble.
Hey, hello everybody. Welcome back again. And hello Leon, of course.
Hello there.
Hey, can you believe it? Last time we sat here and said, whoa, we got snow right here in Hanover. Haven't seen that for so long.
And it's still snowing.
No, it's again. All the snow vanished in the meantime. And then it came back strongly. It was heavy, heavy frost and everything. And everything broke down even more than before. But it is beautiful. And I'm hearing that in 1 week from now, it's going to be 20 degrees Celsius plus. Okie dokie. Today we do have a very cool interview on the technical, on the IT side, rather. Yeah. That's with my good friend Jordan Ryan on the topic of Kubernetes. That is something related to how can I make a Mautic hosting environment really powerful and high availability, high performance, multi-tier, etc. That in a minute. It's good stuff. Do listen to it. It's too technical. It's really about the relevant part for everyone. Mm-hmm. Before we go there, I have a little anecdote. I've been using Mautic for quite a while now, but I was completely unaware of the fact that there are keyboard shortcuts.
There are.
And for some reason, I think Lamin told me. Mm-hmm. Turns out when you hit the shift ? It actually shows you what the shortcuts are. It's not too many of them. And some of them are quite helpful in my personal workflow, some not super relevant, and maybe there's room for more in the future, but the fact that we have shortcuts completely took me by surprise.
Same.
So if you haven't heard of it, I put it in the show notes for starters. Okay, and then we have a little bit of hint for messaging, right?
Yeah, I've been strolling through the forum and it popped up once again the old question, is it able to send Mautic messages to WhatsApp, because it is kind of popping up often and there's confusion about that. So you can send Mautic messages to WhatsApp, but you do not necessarily need the Twilio plugin, but the webhook connected to Twilio and your Twilio account. It's kind of complex, and there's a pretty good article in the forum about that, how to do that pretty easily, and we will link that in the show notes if you're interested in that. Give it a read. It's pretty simple to set up yourself.
Yeah, I don't even think it's complex by nature. It's just well hidden because everybody thinks you need the Twilio plugin, but all you need is a Twilio service and the regular webhook. So give it a shot, right? Yeah. The other thing that's coming up is our shopware integration. Mm-hmm. We did talk about it a couple of episodes ago that we intend to do such a thing, and we do have a forum post on this Shopware 6 integration with Mautic. Time is approaching that we're going to kick it off as a project and as a plugin. Yeah. So if you have any input for us, if you have any wishes that you want to see in that integration, do go to the forum post, which you will also find in the show notes.
Yeah. And then we're coming to the feature request of the week. I heard you wanted to tell us about that.
Yeah, it's been a while before since we had a feature request ourselves, but we're looking at the feature requests in the forum time and again, and there's one that is bugging me all the time. Not the request, but the missing feature, and that is when you do import or export of Mautic in Mautic context through CSV or whatever. That's a powerful thing and really handy, but it does not consider tags and also stages. So there's no way to easily import directly, including tags and stuff like that. And same for export. No. And if you ever try to do more than a just simple contact list, then you will have stumbled across that. And so if you feel the same, If nothing else, do give a thumbs up or a vote for this feature request, and I hope we're going to see it soon in our good old Mordic.
So yeah.
Yeah. Good. And then we go back to another oldish thing, and that is keeping your Mordic instance and Mordic database lean and mean.
Yeah.
So keeping it in good shape, prevent it from blowing up, from collecting all the bloat and going up to the 100 megabyte size with just 99% crap in it. So we did do a knowledge base article quite a while ago about housekeeping for the Mordic database. Yep. And that was about onboard things or out-of-the-box things like the good old Mordic maintenance cleanup command, which you should be aware of if you mm-hmm. run a Mordic instance, but also how to create a custom campaign to do even more intelligent cleanup. Yeah. Then there are other things that cannot be dealt with out of the box. Mm-hmm. And as of today, things may require a database command to do that.
Oh.
Especially the event log can grow large. Mm-hmm. And I'm pointing you to a forum post or forum discussion with the proper SQL commands and everything.
Yep.
To do that, however, if you're not familiar with dealing directly with the database, the regular disclaimer applies. Don't do it. Don't try this at home. It's more dangerous than helpful. So rather give a little bit extra storage size to your database. And there's one more thing that I want to remind people of, and that is another console command. And when I say console command, that also means it can be a cron job, of course. Again, for those who are not too technical, it's probably nothing that you want to do yourself.
Yep.
It's just like setting up other cron jobs or dealing on the command line of your server. And the command, what it does is deduplicate. And that is dealing with a specific thing that people see, and it's not too uncommon. And that is that you have multiple entries, say, with the same email address or other things that are supposed to be unique. And so what it does is deduplication merge all those duplicate entries into a single one. And of course, yep. The name of the command is deduplicate, or rather Mordic contacts deduplicate.
How convenient.
Isn't it? And it's not very well known. Just as many other cron jobs or console commands out there are helpful, but not everybody's aware of them.
Yeah, super hidden in the documentation, for example.
No, not at all. Yeah, well, kind of. Okay, you're right.
There are some which are hard to find.
Yeah. And then there's so many lists out there, and most do not really explain what they do. Maybe we should make it a regular chapter in the podcast to talk about one specific console command.
Command of the week.
We're not really doing this weekly, but okay, let's say we feature console command of the podcast episode.
Perfect.
Blah blah blah. let's look out for more. Yeah, good point. Okay, let's move on to the interview with Jordan Ryan. You probably heard of the name. At least it's a good old friend of mine, and he's very well known in the Mordic community, especially in the US.
Yeah.
And for instance, in the last Mordicon, it was one of the highlights where we had Jordan in a panel discussion about Mordic HA, high availability, which was much more than HA, and certainly worth a look. But today we wanted to discuss an even more specific topic, and that is Mordic on Kubernetes, something that Jordan and his team has been working on for quite a while, and we have planned to make this interview for quite a while. And now that Jordan is finally releasing this to the public, thank you so much, Jordan. I think it's the right time to talk about it, but more in detail. Here you go. Okay. Welcome, Jordan. Welcome to the show. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Aki. Glad to be here. joining you finally on the Modicast.
Yeah, I've been hoping to have you for quite a while, and you've been a long-time high-profile community member, obviously, and many have known you for a long time. Others may have seen you at Modicon. And if you haven't, scroll back to last year and look it up at YouTube. It's really worth it. For everybody else, please do give us a little bit of background about yourself, about what you do with Modic, and all that, just for a start.
Sure. Thank you. First, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Jordan Ryan. I'm CTO at Facet Interactive. We are a Los Angeles-based and distributed at this point digital strategy agency, primarily focusing on empowering people with business-managed solutions across their marketing stack, their web technology stack, and IT stacks. Our work in Modic started 4 to 5 years ago. I was looking at some old commits just to date this a little bit, back in 2016. So it's been a long time that we've been in the community. We've been on again, off again, members more recently as more enterprise interest has grown in the Modic community. We've become more involved again as some customers have rekindled their interest and reached out to us. And we're very excited to be participating now in a very visible way, particularly around this Kubernetes hosting and Helm chart implementation that I'm excited to be talking about a little bit today.
Yeah, sounds like a perfect match with your IT and infrastructure background, Kubernetes experience, and Modic at the same time.
Yeah, it's very much a blend in this day and age, right? You can't have success without knowledge about how marketing works, and you can't have marketing success without knowledge about how technology works. So you really need both.
You have to work with partners, and in this case, it all comes together. So let's get going. Let's start off with the basics, because not everybody is aware of what we're talking about here. So what is Kubernetes in a nutshell, and who should care about it in our Modic context? What benefit does it bring, et cetera, et cetera? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I'd love to. So Kubernetes is an open source management platform for hosting containerized workloads. If that sounds like a lot, it is. But essentially, for any kind of larger deployment of a web application or a software, most companies will consider deploying that so they have redundancy or failover. And a system like Kubernetes makes that really easy because it's all managed by the Kubernetes cluster, where there is a manifest, really like a recipe or an instruction that can explain to itself, if this virtual server, this container fails, redeploy it. And that kind of redundancy and management and failover has, you know, historically been difficult. There are certainly other containerized management platforms out there besides Kubernetes, but, you know, we're no longer really managing directly managing servers. We're managing these containers in lots of cases. So companies that are using Modic for their marketing, you know, it really is important to underline here, if you're already considering Kubernetes for other applications, and Modic makes a lot of sense. If you are not jumping into the Kubernetes world entirely for all of your systems, then it might make sense to bring an outside specialist to help you.
Okay, let's get just a little bit more technical before we go back to the big picture. What does a typical tech stack or Kubernetes setup look like, and what components are involved?
Sure. So I won't get into, you know, which Kubernetes backplane you should use or anything like that. There's plenty of options, but we've been working with our Helm chart in a particular way to deploy onto AWS EKS with a Nginx ingress in order to route traffic, PHP FPM application containers, an Nginx proxy for each of those containers that handles the requests locally. And then that we have an optional in cluster MySQL server, or in our case, we like to push all of our responsibility for the database out to RDS for the relational data service. And then RabbitMQ for queuing all of the inbound traffic requests, all the page views and requests that get queued before they get processed asynchronously by Modic. And lastly, Redis for the shared PHP sessions. I am excited, though. There is a new feature that I think has not yet been released, which is a new cache bin for Redis in Modic 3. I believe that has not yet been merged, but I've been keeping my eye on that one for about 6 months now. So hoping to use that Redis cache a little bit more.
Excellent. So it's all really mainstream technology that it's built on?
Yeah, definitely. We're using the most recent versions of PHP for the most part. I believe that we're currently running PHP 7.3, so we're behind by one to PHP 7.4, but we won't get that until we personally upgrade to Modic 3. We're currently running this on Modic 2, but Modic 3 is definitely on the horizon for us this quarter, because as you know, we're not seeing any more security updates or any kind of updates to Modic 2 in the community.
That's right. Yeah. While we at it, what you described before was a Kubernetes setup in general, mm-hmm. and then you already hooked into what it is. Does it take for Modic to run in that context? So if I take just a vanilla Modic, that doesn't make much sense, does it? Or can you explain what it takes?
Sure. So I can talk a little bit about the challenges. The challenges are the main problem here. So the challenges of Modic are the way that the configuration is managed in Modic. It's technically it's stateful. And what I mean by stateful is that when you write your configuration file, which is your local.php file in your app config folder for the technical folks that are following us, that is required by Modic to be writable. And when you make that required to be writable, you have to put it in a place that it can be written to by all the application containers. And so this is essentially the work of the recipe, is that we want this data to be accessible by all the application servers for anything that needs to be writable. So if it's your media folder and your files and your images, it needs to be writable. If it's your cache, it needs to be writable in a shared directory. If it's your logs, it needs to be writable in a shared directory. And all of those things contribute towards kind of the portholes that need to be poked in the application server to make sure that everything's woven together. Mm-hmm. As for running vanilla Modic, it's not that you can't run vanilla Modic. It's that managing it in this cluster is going to become very difficult at some point. We currently use Composer to do all of our installs in kind of a specialized way, inspired by Heath Dutton and the DMS group's work in Modic Elastic Beanstalk. And we have the need to make the Modic application, destroyable. We need to make the application server that's running it restartable. And in order to do that, that means that no data can be written locally to the application server. So you have to have those mounts, those persistent volume caches, as they're called in Kubernetes land, so that the data between these application servers can continue to persist and we can restart servers without causing Modic to actually stop functioning. That's the majority of the work that we've done. There's no really other special vanilla patches, if you will. Mautic Core is usable. We do have a few patches that we've run because we just stay up to date in the community and you know, contribute patches and want to make sure that we are keeping an eye on performance improvements and other things that maybe aren't in Mautic Core, but those are all optional at this point.
Okay, and when you say we did this, we did that, I know you did a lot of work over the last couple of months, and you told me you're making all this public. So what's the state of that?
Yeah, so by the time you're hearing this at home, Mautic Kubernetes, Mautic KS is going to be open source. As of this podcast, I'm just finalizing some of the documentation, you know, telling people what kinds of variables they need to set up in their GitLab CI pipeline and making it hopefully as easy of an on-ramp as possible. To tell you about how long we've kind of been working on this, we started this work back in January of last year, and it's been a fair weather project for us. I'm not going to say that we were working 100% of the time on it, we've been running our Mautic Kubernetes instance for about that long and working through some of the scalability issues and testing it in different ways. And certainly there's a lot more work to be done to make this a better tool for everyone, but we're ready to tear off the Band-Aid and show people how they can help. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, sounds like it has matured a little bit already. It's been running that long.
Yeah, it's definitely been a process of encountering different kinds of errors as we've worked through the stateful issues and the stateless issues. Mm-hmm. And it's also been a matter of putting it under load in real conditions and making sure that we had the time to work through the issues of how do we upgrade from one version of Mautic to the next. Those might seem like simple problems to solve. However, getting those deployment steps correct so that when you're deploying to a high availability cluster is different than just downloading the upgraded script and up running the package. It's very different.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in the Mautic Slack, we now have a channel for Kubernetes, and there's a lot of people in it already. And I think you are the first one to really publish what you did, and inviting other people to use it and to contribute and to collaborate or whatever. Are you actively working with anybody outside of your team already, or what is the process for them to get in touch?
We are actively working with some other not contributors in the Mautic open source community, but contributors that are close friends of ours that have been kind of along with us in this Mautic journey. We primarily have had a background in Drupal, and so know a lot of other Drupal agencies, and they've been most interested in our journey, and we've been kind of shepherds for them, showing them the way as well. We have keen interest, though, for a list of about a half dozen to a dozen individuals that have reached out to us, that I'm very excited to reach back out to them this week and say, hey, it's up, it's not perfect, but it will be with your help, and we have this list of things that we know need to be addressed. If you want to address them, we'd love to have your help. If you have your own ideas, we want to hear them.
Wow, perfect. I would imagine, I know that others have been tackling this issue or this challenge too in the past, and not sure where everybody is, but I would think for Mautic it would be best if there is one standard way of doing Kubernetes with Mautic going forward. And so from my point of view, one vision would be that now that we have one open source project for this, that everybody is eventually going to move over to that and to contribute to that, etc. So we have a gold standard for doing it with Mautic. But I'm not sure where we are in that respect, and I'm not sure what your vision is either.
I would love to see one Mautic Kubernetes Helm chart and distribution for handling Mautic on Kubernetes. I think that that is entirely the goal. Whether or not we will get rogue implementations where somebody did something differently because they did not find the project, or they went ahead and did something themselves because they didn't want maybe all of the additional opinionated ways that we have at Facet provided ways to manage the Kubernetes instance, or manage the Mautic instance, I should say. There's certainly people who are going to want leaner implementations, I think. Or maybe they want to run Apache instead of Nginx. We can certainly provide different forks within the project, but those are the kinds of opinionated things that I think lead to this, you know, kind of difference of opinion. I know that Mautic Docker, for instance, supports a wide variety of different hosting environments, but it will take time for us to get there.
But that's fine. I mean, you need to start somewhere, and you need to make decisions and trade-offs in the beginning, and then work from there. So that's okay. To be a little bit more specific, if anybody out there is interested in using what you have, where would they find it, and who should they talk to, interact with? What kind of questions should they contact you, or a forum, or where should they go?
Sure. A few different ways to get involved. One is definitely go to github.com/facetinteractive/modic-k8s. And you can start the project, you can fork it, you can open an issue. If you would like to get started, certainly reading the documentation will help, and by all means, if you can help with any kind of questions around that documentation, we will be all about getting some improvements there to help people get onboarded. If you have questions while you're getting started, please join us in the Mautic Slack community on the hashtag Kubernetes channel. You can also reach out to me on Twitter at @Jordan_Ryan. And I'm also at Jordan Ryan on Mautic Slack. So if you want to just DM me, that's perfectly fine.
Okay. And Facet Interactive can be found at?
You can find us at facetinteractive.com.
Ooh. Okay. So Mautic Kubernetes people, join forces. And I think it's fantastic that we now have something tangible and something that everybody can discuss and make better. And so there's a next level for the Kubernetes community and the Slack channel. So yeah, everybody get going. I can't wait to see a lot of discussion and eventually installations and improvements, etc., happening. And frankly, I can't wait to have something like that in our own agency. It's not the stack that we normally do, but it's certainly something that we want to start doing. So we'll be part of the team eventually.
Yeah, it's an opportunity to grow for a lot of agencies to get into Kubernetes. I feel the same as you, Eki. We've definitely grown a lot over the past year and a half, 2 years, as we've dipped our toes into this space and driven this forward.
Excellent. So thank you so much, Jordan, for all these insights, for huge contribution to the Mautic community, and for your time today.
Yeah, thank you, Eki.
Okay, and I talk to you soon. I hope you can show us a little bit at Mauticon 2021. And until
is
then,
that just around the corner yet?
Yeah, listen to the next podcast.
Yeah, great.
Okay. Which is this one, actually. Yeah, it's happening in June.
Perfect.
Yeah, isn't it? Okay, look, take care, stay safe, talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jordan, for sharing that knowledge with the public. But the question that comes to mind, to my mind, is do we at Leuchtfeuer will use that?
Oh, I was afraid of that. No, I mean, we've been doing HA for a long time now, even longer than Mautic. And so we have our traditional technologies and specs, and we're evolving on that, of course. And Kubernetes is not on that list yet. But but after this interview, I can't wait to really do it. Problem is, of course, if you have something that works well, and you have complete overload situation anyway, so you don't have enough engineers and everything, it's always going to be pushed back. So we're trying hard to find time to advance on that, but well, I'm not making promises. I hope we'll have it real soon, but I'd love to, that's for sure. Yeah. So what else do we have?
Yeah, we now have a bounty program. There also is an article in the forum about that, but I think you know a bit more concerning that topic.
Yeah, it's actually a full blog post. And it's explaining what we mean by it, and basically how we are going to use money or to deal with money in order to make Mautic better and more successful. And we do have a little bit of money, because of incomes like sponsorships, etc. It is probably hopefully growing over time, but we never talked about what do we do with the money. And the other thing is, there's when we did talk about this in the show before, there's people out there who would like to support features or whatever and spend some money in order to get what they need with Mautic, and also we don't have anything yet there. However, as you said, we do have the blog post that says, hey, this is how we're starting right now. We have a little budget to spend. Every team gets a little bit of it. We have something in GitHub that works. And so we get going, make our experiences, make sure that we're not hindering regular contribution in open source, because that's a little bit of a conflict.
Oh, yeah.
And but we do want to get going and learn. And because this is a tricky thing, and a lot of things to talk about, I would love to have an interview maybe in the next show or the one after.
Yeah.
And discuss this in all depth, because it is so important for Mautic and such a big potential. And I'm really happy to see movement.
Yeah, same.
Good. So then we do have a date for Mauticon. When is it? I'm not telling yet. No. I can't tell. The last Mauticon is not too long ago. That was in November. We are recording this in mid of February, 15th to be exact. The fixed date for Mauticon is now 16th and 17th of June this year. So pretty soon, only 6 months after the last Mauticon. June is going to be another global virtual thing. It's going to be 2 days this time, because 1 day of, I don't know, like 17 hours or so, that was pretty tough on some.
Oh, yeah.
So we want to spread it across 2 days. Still want to move around the hours, so we can target different time zones around the world. Also have multi-language tracks, of course, as we know, even better than we had before. So we think it's going to be real good. The last one was a blast. Maybe we can repeat that one. So it's also going to be a training day the day before. That would be the 15th. And again, this is online, so that's for everybody. We had a lot of discussion and that started immediately after the last Mauticon, how great it is to have an online thing, but on the other hand, how much we all miss the physical event, the real meeting up with people, having side conversations, spending some time over dinner or at the bar or whatever, and help making the teams much deeper than they were before. And not only teams, but also network for everyone. Networking is such an important aspect of a conference. So, long story short, we are doing this global event, and we are going to do it every year going forward at the same time. We also want the physical thing, so we want to move the physical event to Q4, something like November, maybe. We'll see. And that's not a global Mautic conference. It's going to be a continental, whatever, per continent thing. And it's maybe this time we're going to start in the US or in Europe. And then next year it's going to be maybe, I don't know, Mauticon Asia, what have you. And then the next continent. So it's one for now. It's one virtual global thing. It is one per one in a continent per year. Q4 is the date. Of course, there's a pretty good chance that we will have to cancel it in 2021 because we all don't know how things are going to develop.
True.
But we are now hard at work at preparing the virtual Mauticon, and we're going to release the official date announcement and the request for papers and the sponsorships options and all that real soon, maybe before this podcast airs. And at the same time, we are looking for a date and venue for the Q4 Mauticon optional
thing.
Yeah. And then the last thing I have to add is that the official name is no longer Mauticon.
It's not.
Yeah, there's a little bit of name conflict in the Spanish language where it has a little bit of a bad sound.
Oh.
So it is just the Mautic conference going forward. There will be places where Mauticon is still used, and then, well, I think people will still call it Mauticon, and that's okay. But in official communication, it's going to be Mautic conference, and that's not going to be an issue.
Yeah.
Good. I think we covered it all.
I think so too.
Okay. Then in that case, we are appreciating all your feedback. Please let us know what you think, what you wish for, and what you hated and all that. And other than that, stay safe. I'm looking forward to listen to you. No, to talk to you. Next time. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.